a logo of white, a logo of blue. We don't own the name, that's true. We'll set a mic up near the street in our old familiar place, you and I, face to face. A logo of blue, a logo of white. We tape at 9:30 at night. Meet you anytime you want on the Punk News Podcast. With me these days, got my tech job, got my newsletter, got my turntable, and now I'm able to play my stylus so fine. Lost touch long ago, you still dig crates, I did not know your voice could sound so nice after so much time. Do you remember those days staring down at the computer screen, talking Clash boots, veg and fruits, and that fight with Ben Weeze? Does it rock? Does it suck? Play a song by the Constantines. Punk's Points, Silly Fights, My Sweet Punk News Podcast Nights. Adam and Johnny were into Rocksteady and the punk and the hardcore songs, chatting with GarageBand Up and the Snowball on. Nobody rapped any finer or was quick to call someone else a whiner. We never knew we could want more than this out of life. Adam and Johnny would always know how to jive. And Johnny were still tracking weekly after episode 505 when they decided that the podcast should grow by the end of July. Everyone said they were crazy. You know, perhaps we'd become too lazy, and we want to make sure that the show will always survive. So there we were, listening to Adam and Johnny jive. They drew up some plans and shook their hands and had ideas for many more years. Maybe a Patreon will earn us some bread, and at worst we'll just lose some cred. It looked all right, but just out of sight was the real world and all of its tears. Oh, oh, oh. Let's open this pit! Rap for a while in a very nice style, but it's always the same in the end. There was a fork in the road, and then they both chose, but they parted the closest of friends. Maybe the host will be back on the show, but you can never go back there again. Oh, oh, oh. Adam and Johnny had had it figured out by episode 505. From the high to the low to that Philly show for the rest of their lives. They could debate punk niches. All the while rock and roll decreases. We always know they would both find a way to get by. That's all I heard about Adam and Johnny. Can't tell you more than I told you already. And here we are skanking Adam and Johnny goodbye. A logo of blue, a logo of white. What should we cover on the show tonight? Meet you anytime you want on the Punk News Podcast.
To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose. A time to build up, and a time to break down. A time to dance, a time to mourn. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. Because if you count on a constant in this world, you will find yourself rudely awakened. For this is not a universe of order, but of chaos, of conversion, of change. And when that what you hold dear ruptures, and when the sands of Arcus crack the egg of your being, and when a pet raises your mastaba to the ground, when Loki snaps the board of your longboat, you can cry, you can moan, you can wail, you can say, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, my podcast partner for 10 years isn't here anymore. You can say, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, the chemistry of the show is going to be different. You can say, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, the plans for great change are now a loss. What am I going to do? However will we proceed in such a cataclysm? Or you can pick yourself up, you ninny, you jackanape, you schlub. You can realize that the man who counts on constants is the king of fools. And he doesn't even know it. You can choose to ride the ways of chaos. You can choose to soar the highest winds. You can choose to ride the most chaotic oceans. You can choose to trek the shifting lands of this modern age. For change is life's blood. Raise a thanks to Arcus when he smashes your sails. And toss a cask of wine into the sea in his tribute. Throw your best eggs into the mouth of a pet. As he writhes by, draw deep and laugh hearty at the antics of Loki. For the years have drifted, the sands have changed, technology has grown, and still, the Punk News Podcast is still here. The Punk News Podcast is still here. Every week, an hour of music shower and debate raw power to make you mentally flower and tower. Over 500 episodes, and still, we go to and fro, recording show after show after show after show after show after show after show with Hallie Bullitt, she who has toured and recorded and thereby has the gift of insight. With M. Moore, she who has her ear to the ground and therefore has the gift of pulse. With Sam Barrett, she who is Orgcourt incarnate and thereby has the gift of connection. And John G., some guy or something. The Punk News Podcast rolls onward this week, and it will not stop. And it rolls onward next week, and it will not stop. And it rolls onward the week after that, and it will not stop. And onward, and onward, and onward, and onward, and onward, and onward, including this week, Punk News Podcast, episode 533. Hey, ho, let's go! Punk News Podcast 533. I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it, but we should point it out. Adam White isn't here, and Adam White isn't going to be here for a little while. I think you all heard last week's episode, and if you didn't, you're in for a rude shock. Adam White had to step down, or not step down. He had to take a sabbatical because he's got a lot going on in his life, as we all do, and something had to give. What's that song, Something's Got to Give? Is that a song, Something's Got to Give? How do you put it? Isn't that a song, Something's Got to Give?
I feel like that must be several songs. I'm not sure which exact one you're thinking of.
Yeah. Well, there's some song out there called Something's Got to Give. And in Adam's case, it was the Punk News Podcast. It is bittersweet. And, you know, when people usually say things is bittersweet, it's usually just bitter. But this is bittersweet because it's sad because Adam's not going to be here for a little while. And I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it. But Adam is an important part of the show. And maybe he'll be back and maybe he won't. I don't know. And so, you know, I was bummed out. But on the other hand, that means we get more Hallie Bullitt. We get more and more, and we get more Sam Barrett, and maybe some other people too. So it's a little rude of me to say, "Oh, you mean me?" When we got, honestly, we've got, you know, people that have been here a while now. Sam, Hallie have all been here a while, and they're going to be on more often, and they're all great conversationalists and have great insight and different perspectives than mine. And I think interestingly now, the podcast, I probably have a greater difference of perspective from M and Hallie than I did with Adam, but maybe not. I don't know, but we'll see. So it's sad, but it's a happy time. Hallie Bullitt, how are you feeling on this rocky occasion when the sands of time, the sands of chaos blow down upon the ship setting it adrift at sea? What's your opinion?
I feel rocked. I definitely feel rocked. It's definitely like feels like a little crazy to me just not to have Adam, because, you know, to me it was like, when I came on the podcast, it was like I was coming onto your and Adam's thing. So I miss talking to that guy. The thing I really appreciate about Adam is just like how smart he is. He's so smart. And like, and that makes him like fun to talk to. And he's also like so like amazingly diplomatic in a way that I like really respect, because if Adam like sticks his neck out about something and really like expresses a strong opinion, you know, he doesn't do that often. So when he does, you know, it's something that's important to him and he's thought it out. And I don't know. Yeah. I'll miss everything that he brought to our conversations. That being said, I have felt like I was being kept apart from the other women on the podcast. I love to talk to women. So I'm like so excited to have more conversations with Em and Sam and John. I always love talking to you, and so I'm just excited to I'm excited to move forward.
Well said. Em Moore, I guess you're really happy because you used to email me twice a week about how much you hated Adam and wish he was off the podcast. So now you're getting what you want, so I guess you're pretty happy, right?
Oh no, it's all out now.
Em Moore, how are you feeling?
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you've both said it so well, like, you know, Adam was a huge part of the podcast, and it was always really interesting to hear, like, his opinions, and then, like his back and forth with everybody, and just a well of knowledge and lots of really, really interesting stuff. Like, I've learned so much just by being on the podcast from Adam, from you, John, from Hallie, from everyone, you know? So, it'll be different moving forward, but I'm looking forward to moving forward, and I think it will be good, and I wish Adam all the best.
Oh, actually, I mean, I think it was clear last week, but people already on Twitter are already talking about this, even though the episode hasn't posted yet, because of the brawl Adam and I had over Penny Rimbeau. Adam and I are still totally cool. We've talked many times, both before and after Adam's big announcement. There is no beef there. It truly is Adam, I guess, doing his own thing or taking stock of priorities. Adam and I are still definitely cool, so there's definitely not anything there. I think it's a little bit funny that the second to last episode Adam and I were on was the big Penny Rimbeau fight. But honestly, between you and me, listeners, just between you and me, although the debate was a real debate, the actual ire was somewhat of a pro wrestling performance in that, like, neither of us really had any anger or even desire to truly win the argument. That was really for a show. So I'm just stomping out any rumors before they start. So listen, you can always reach that podcast at punknews.org. I'm going to read some mail, and then I'm going to see what's going on with Hallie and M this week. And then we will play a song, and then we'll come back and do some news. But here's some of this week's mail. This is from Grit87. I think everyone took Jello's Rush Limbo song too seriously. This is punk rock we are talking about. It's okay to be shocking. It's not like Rush Limbaugh or Rush Limbo didn't do lots of things in poor taste while he was alive. Jello is just saying what we are all thinking. From Grit87. Hallie Rem, do you agree or disagree? Or you guys just want to let Grit87's statement hold as it is?
No, I get it. You know, I'm definitely sensitive about stuff like that. I totally get that opinion. It's not how I felt about it, but I completely understand and respect that.
Well, there you have it. I gotta tell you, I think I am sticking to my guns in that, like, I don't know. It is, like, can you be shocking but also not be in poor taste? I think you can, but I mean, lots of shocking things are in poor taste. But are all shocking things in poor taste. And I also have to take stock of myself. I do like dangerous punk. I do like weird punk. I just disagree with Jello in that one kind of perspective. I don't think he's a bad guy, and I think he's a great punk rocker and makes interesting art. I just can't get behind that because I feel like it's bad mojo. This is from James R. Here's what James R. says. On episode 530, John, Adam, and Hallie talked about traveling to shows. John mentioned punk rock bowling. Do you think I should book my tickets to punk rock bowling? Do you think shows will start again this fall? Will you plan my future for me? I don't want to get my hopes up. I do have what I'll say is tentative tickets to punk rock bowling because I got a hotel, but I can cancel until like 2 days before punk rock bowling. I know people are getting pretty excited. I definitely see people booking shows now for the fall. I'm on the fence. I mean, I'm definitely excited for shows to get started. I'm definitely excited to see Circle Jerks if punk rock bowling does actually happen, but only if it's safe. And I'd hate to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. You know, just when we almost got this thing snuffed out, let's all party. What if we just waited 3 more months or 2 more months, it wouldn't have that danger associated with it. So, I mean, my point is make flexible plans if you can. That is, can you cancel those plans without much loss to yourself? So, that's my advice. And more, what do you think?
I would agree with that because, you know, things might be going really well. You know, and shows could easily be back, especially like in the States. So I'm on board with easily canceled plans so you can get your refund and you haven't like sunk a bunch of money into something that's not going to happen.
Now, Em, when you say especially in the States, are you implying that like you think things will open up in the States sooner than other places like i.e. Canada?
Right now, I kind of think so, just because of like the vaccine rollout. The numbers for like people who have been vaccinated are much higher in the States right now than in Canada. Mm. So I think it'll take a little bit longer to get everybody safeguarded.
Yeah. People seem to think it's going to be on in the fall. I just thought Coachella moved to Halloween weekend. So all you people that are like both Coachella and Fest, you have a big a big decision to make now. I think that's very few people. I think I may be actually maybe one of the only people on planet Earth that would be interested in going to both Coachella and Fest. But it does seem like all these festivals, they seem confident that things are going to be happening in the fall. John Amer, just remember us talking like around this time last year, or a little later, maybe around June, and when Fest had announced a lineup, and I remember thinking like, I hope this happens, but I don't think it's going to happen. Like, this year is definitely different. People are announcing things, and I'm like, I'm going to Fest. So this year, if this stuff doesn't happen, I am really going to have emotionally the rug pulled out from under me. So I've got every finger and toe crossed over here. I hope by the fall we get our acts together and we can make some shows happen. Although I thought it was interesting, John, I feel like you and Adam touched on this a bit. It's like, I have had the thought of like, are these festivals going to be more dangerous? Like, are people going to be like, they're going to have so much like pent up energy, and like, are people like, I'm just imagining like people like passed out unconscious on the sidewalk from fights or just like alcohol poisoning. I'm just like, I'm imagining like kind of some chaos when we go back to live shows, but I'm still planning on going.
I'm just imagining I'm going to walk out to Punk Rock Bowling out onto that big green field they have out, I guess near the Golden Nugget or whatever. I'm like, oh boy, Punk Rock Bowling. I'll get to see Devo. I'll get to see the Circle Jerks, you know? And I turn the corner and it's like just this giant, disgusting orgy. And everyone's like, yeah, COVID's over. You know, I'm like, oh, you know. So anyway.
I'm with you. I'm wondering I'm curious to see what these kind of gatherings are going to look like when we can finally go back to them, you know?
I gotta say, people can be really obnoxious at festivals. They'll like wrap their arm around you and like you don't even know them, or like breathe on you. It's like get off me, you know, drunk person. Well, listen, you can always reach that podcast at Punk. Oh, and the more important question though is, will Punk New Summer Soiree 5 happen sometime this year? Certainly, almost certainly not this summer, but in the fall or early winter. That's the real question everyone wants to know.
I want to know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, honestly, that does put me in somewhat of a – I mean, I'd like to do it. And I mean, honestly, I really want number 5 to be a total banger with, like, some craziness. And so I've got I mean, I've been building up crazy ideas for 5 years. But I mean, I really want it to be a slammer. The problem is, I mean, I got to book it, like, 3 or 4 months out, right? So if I'm going to do it in November, I got to, like, start talking to people in, like, July or even June, you know? So I don't know.
We'll I'm going to say, I think if you want to do it in November, you have to start talking to people now, because the thing is, like, if things open up in the fall, everything's going to be happening in the fall. So in order not to be like, pick a weekend where there's like 100 other things that have already been announced and that people are already excited about, I feel like you got to kind of like get ahead of this stuff, you know, get it. I mean, I just know for people that are touring, you know, any kind of artists that are touring artists, people are feeling the stress, you know, because people are going to be touring again in the fall. They're like, well, everyone's going to be touring in the fall. You know, everyone's going to be trying to get back out on the road. So it is going to be like a little bit of a clusterfuck in terms of like shows and stuff like that. So I don't know. I say if you want to do it, pick a date, announce it, and then you can always cancel it later.
So you're suggesting that I reach out to band and say, yo, we'd like to do this if it was safe. Yeah. So I want to book you now, but if it's not safe, we're going to can it in like September. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
That's my sage advice. No, being not an expert on any of this.
Listen, I mean, honestly, well, like, not to drive me to the ground, you know, when Adam and I, and by Adam and I mean, when 95% I and 5% Adam threw the first Punk New Summer Soiree, I didn't know anything, you know, and it kind of worked out, you know, so I don't know. Anyways, listen, Halle Bullet, what's going on in your world?
Not a lot. I don't know. What's going on? No, nothing. You know, just trying to stay entertained at home. Oh, so I have been I have been checking out a little bit of, and I want to check out a lot more of, this cool interview series that, if anybody knows St. Vitus, this is like an amazing metal bar in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. I mean, I think they identify as a metal bar, and I think of them as a metal bar, but I've definitely gone to see punk and hardcore. They do a lot of punk and hardcore shows. I feel like I've even seen, what is the name of that band? Amos from Tenement has that other more like, it's more like a bluesy kind of country kind of band. Like, so just to say, I've seen all kinds of music at St. Vitus, but it is just a fantastic venue for music, and it's just a great bar to go to if you're in Brooklyn. And of course, they've been hard hit like everybody by the pandemic. And, you know, so they've just been trying to do some stuff to just like, you know, make a little bit of money. They've been selling a ton of like cool merch and all kinds of stuff, just trying to stay active and creative and keep St. Vitus in people's minds. They did like a great Kickstarter. And I think the coolest thing to come out of this, honestly, is this interview show that they're doing called Age of Quarantine. It's host. You can find it on YouTube. You just have to go to the host's YouTube page, and he's Christopher Enriquez. And he's just been interviewing, like, honestly, like such cool people. He got Gary Bennett from Kill Your Idols. He got John. He got Buzz Osborne from the Melvins. Talked to him. Talked to Frank Bello from Anthrax. Tomorrow I think they're going to be doing an interview with Ray Capo from Youth of Today and Shelter, which I was like a huge fan of Shelter because you couldn't be like young and in the East Village in the 90s and not like love Shelter. So I don't know, like I'm enjoying these interviews, and it's, you know, I just think, just to say, Age of Quarantine, check it out. And St. Vitus, they in their shop, they also have like, they have crazy merch. They have like, right now they have it like transparent red pressing of Slayer's Show No Mercy. They just have like crazy stuff in their shop. Just like, go check it out, support the bar. And if you want to hear some great interviews, check out Age of Quarantine. And I'm going to also take that advice because there's a lot more interviews that they have done that I haven't watched.
And more, what's going on in your world?
This is exciting. Most of the snow is gone. We can see grass.
Yes. So even in Canada, grass is real.
So grass. That was exciting. And then I lost a shirt, and I found it today. And so it's like what it is. So it's like a black shirt. And then, you know, those prayer candles where they have Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, so it's Jesus's body, but it's Lemmy's face. So I found that today. That was exciting.
That's not a shirt you want to lose. I'm happy you found that. But also, none of us go anywhere. So this just means you lost it in your house.
Yep.
Fantastic.
As a side note, when I go out, like, I haven't been wearing, like, all my cool band t-shirts. Because t-shirts do wear out, you know? And so, I the entire year I've just been wearing, like, stupid shirts I don't care about. Like, you know, like, Frank Jones produce distribution. You know what I mean? Like, so, I'm excited once COVID ends. I mean, I've been stocking up on the rad shirts, man. I've got a Crazy in the Brain shirt. I've got an official Crash, a Steve Ignorant Crash shirt. And the only official Crash t-shirt ever produced. I've got a lot of other cool shirts, man. So anyways, I'm excited. Listen, let's all right. We're kicking off a new era. And so kicking off a new era, should we play Ramones, Crash, Clash, Rudimentary Peni, or Black Flag, Keith Morris era? What should we play? What should we play to kick off the new era?
Call it.
Let's go Keith Morris, Black Flag.
All right, listen. Nervous Breakdown. No better track to open up a new era than with perhaps the greatest single of all time, Keith Morris' era Black Flag, Nervous Breakdown. Let's go.
Shoulders, it's going buzz. same old lines. Don't tell me that today, yes, and now it's just for you. You'll get out of my way, cause I'm crazy and I'm hurt. Head on my shoulder. Going faster. Apologize for acting out of line. You see the way I am. You leave anytime you die, cause I'm crazy out of line. Head on my shoulders. Going
And we are back, and that was Black Flag doing Nervous Breakdown. That song still sends chills through my spine. And I mean that. Like, every single time I hear that song, it just makes my brain explode. It's so insanely good. Speaking of something else that's making my brain explode, Danny Elfman. He's got a new video coming off his new album. His new album's going to be out on Epitaph Records. And the video is for Kick Me. It's relatively short. Two things to take from here. Danny Elfman is, like, super jacked for being, like, 64, 65 years old. Well, three things. B, he has given himself a lot of tattoos over the past 3 or 4 years. C, this video, the video and the song is pretty abrasive. Hallie Bullet, Danny Elfman, are you a fan? And are you digging Danny Elfman's aggressive latest slant?
Yeah, I like this. This is cool, right? I mean, some of the stuff he's been writing is like, I feel like I can hear how much soundtrack work he's been doing all these years, because I'm like, then when he tries to just write like a song, it just still set, it sounds like a little like set, it sounds soundtracky to me, if that makes sense. Like, I'm like, oh, this isn't quite like the like tight, concise, like pop song that I want it to be. But no, I mean, I'm a huge fan of like a lot of his work, both as like a rock guy and like and a composer. I thought this song was great. I liked the lyrics. It's all like it's like, I'm a celebrity, kick me, I'm a royal, kick me. I don't, it's like irreverent and yet like smart, and it definitely like what is it? It's like it encapsulates something about our like celebrity and like worshiping society. It's cool. Whatever. People should just check it out. I can't really summarize, but the video, I did find it like, I don't know. I guess I don't like when people like pick apart how women look. So I don't know why I should do that to a dude. But I just to say, I found it a little disturbing that like his head was like sort of like older guy with thinning hair, and then his body is inexplicably like a young guy maybe on steroids or something, right? Like, isn't there, there was just like an incongruity to the top and the bottom of him.
Do you realize how hard it is to, like he was a skinny guy for 64 years and then he bulked up at like age 65. Like,
yeah.
It only shows how weird he really is.
Clearly he's psyched about it because he did this video where like his shirt's off for the whole thing. So he's like, everybody like check it out. Like, I worked on this. At first I was like, is this like CGI? What is going on here? But no, I guess, listen, I heard during COVID, they're saying by the end of the pandemic, you come out either, what is it? Oh, a hunk or a chunk. Right? So like you've either spent the pandemic like obsessively working out because you have nothing to do and you're a hunk, or you've like spent it just like just eating all your feelings and you're a chunk. And he definitely seems to have gone the hunk route, right?
I do like how this video look like, so he, there is a perhaps age incongruity that he's like jacked up. He's 67 and he's jacked. That is so hard. I mean, I'm guessing he's roiding or something. Like, I don't know how they get jacked up at 67. But I feel like there is a body incongruity, but then in between pictures of him, there's like a distorted male human figure, which I think is interesting. You know what I mean? So body dysmorphia, I guess, if you will. This is wild. And more, what's your take on Danny Elfman and his very aggressive sound?
It's been growing on me like a moss. Like, this has been going through my head. I've had to just listen to it, you know? I'm a fan of aggressive Elfman. It sounds really good. And I want to look like him when I'm 67. Like, that would be nice.
Maybe it's the roids that are making his music more aggressive.
Well, steroids do make you more aggressive. You know what I mean? It's like when Dr. Dre showed up and he was like 60 pounds muscle heavier, and like literally like 4 months ago he like was skinny, you know? It's like, what the hell, you know? What I will say is I love the first Oingo Boingo album, and I like when he does sing-songy stuff, and so this track is pretty much just 2 minutes of pure aggression blast. I don't think I'd want a whole album of that, but if he mixes that in with some of the singy-songy stuff, and honestly, like the first single was relatively singy-songy, I'm So Happy, which I dug that track a lot. So we're just going to have to see. I will say, though, it looks like he's really swinging for the fences. What I will say, and I'll reserve judgment until the album comes out, though, I think you can accuse Gary Numan of the same thing. Danny Elfman and Gary Numan have influenced so many artists, particularly industrial artists, you know. And so Gary Numan kind of does modern industrial these days, except for it sounds a little dated when he's doing it, because it's like, well, you're doing industrial from circa 2005, but it's 2021. Even though you essentially created this, you kind of sound dated because you're using older versions of other people's stuff that were influenced by you. So I hope Danny Elfman doesn't fall into that trap. I sense a little of that here, but maybe when I hear the full album, I won't have that opinion. So that's where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Susie True, let's go from the old to the young. Susie True have released a cover of a track by the Cold War Kids, I believe the Cold War Kids. The track, it's a cover of Hang Me Up to Dry, and it's off the Eat the Rich, a Gossip Girl soundtrack cover compilation that's out. It's a benefit. I know M. Moore is a big fan of Susie True, and she's also a fan of the Susie True spinoff band. I think both bands are pretty cool. The video, I believe, has one of the Susie Trues dancing around it as a skeleton, and the other Susie Trues kind of dressed up as like Maltese Falcon era type characters. Em, what'd you think of this track? What'd you think of this cover? What'd you think of this video?
It was great. It was awesome. I had not heard the original, so I listened to that after I listened to the cover, and the video for the original is kind of like a film noir kind of like feel to it. So I think that's what they might have been like trying to do, but kind of like having fun with it and everything. The dancing skeleton is, I believe, the drummer, and like that, the whole video is great. Everyone just looks like they're having a blast, and it's so nice to see people like having fun, you know, and actually like doing something that like they want to do and being creative with stuff. And you know, it's like a light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing. Like, oh yeah, you know, like that'd be so nice. And it kind of takes you out of reality for a bit, and it's great. So I'm all for it. It's awesome. The dancing skeleton though is the key, and all the money too that they raise is going to, I don't know how to pronounce that properly. The Sogoria T Land Trust. So it's indigenous women led, and it's in San Francisco, and it facilitates the return of indigenous land to indigenous people. So it's for a good cause.
John, what did you think of this cover?
I don't really like the original. I dug this cover. Honestly, like, I like this cover a lot. It kind of reminded me of like kind of classic era Rolling Stones, you know, Exile on Main Street, Sticky Fingers. It kind of had that like sparse, bluesy feel to it. I dug it. I mean, I'm not a massive Susie True fan, but I dig them. I like the spinoff band. Em, what's the name of the Susie True spinoff band?
Punk Crash.
Yeah, yeah. I like both of these bands. I dig the video, and I'm always a fan of Dancing Skeletons. I love how Dancing Skeletons go back to prehistory. The concept of Dancing Skeletons goes back to prehistory. And you know, a lot of those like cartoons from the 30s, they would have a lot of dancing skeletons for some reason. Like Happy Bullets, you remember Ground Round? I don't know if they had that up where you live when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Remember they would have like the public domain cartoons on the wall, and it would always be like the dancing skeleton ones and stuff. Why has the dancing skeleton persisted over millennia as an image that is effective to the human race? What is it about death mocking us that is such an effective way of talking?
Universal.
Well, I don't know. I don't have an explanation for that. For the tenacity of the image of the dancing skeleton. I you guys, I feel bad because
you hate it?
I hate it. And now I feel extra bad that I hated it because it's for charity. So maybe I should just not talk about it. I do like the original. I have always liked the original. I think the original is awesome. And so I don't know, you know, I think when you, with covers, it's like either a band like puts their own spin on a song and it's just like really interesting and fun to hear like a different interpretation. Or then there's like another category of cover where like it kind of just sounds exactly like the original. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you can play the song. Good for you. And then there's like a third category of cover where I'm just like, well, this is just the song, but not as good. And why would I listen to this and not the original? And that was how I felt about this. I'm sorry.
Susie True taking big hits on the Punk News podcast.
I think Susie True's a good band. I just didn't think this was maybe the, I didn't know that maybe this wasn't the song for them.
Well, another band that everyone's sure to love, Joystick. They're putting out I guess it's their new album. Joystick is putting out a record on, I believe it's Bad Time and Stomp Records. Joystick, along with Jer, along with Catbite, and along with Kill Lincoln, is among, and also that band Bite Me Bambi. That's kind of the new wave of third wave ska. And a lot of those bands have a lot of hype behind them. I'm not sure if COVID stunted that hype or kept that hype going along. But Joystick is the latest one to really kind of be like, here's the newest new ska band you should like. You guys want to talk about it, or do you want me to kick it off?
Go for it.
All right, listen. They're having fun. I'm glad they're having fun. I'm not trying to be a hater. But to me, this is like seven people just like blowing as hard as they can on horns, and I feel like this is why people, and it's overtly goofy, and I don't know, maybe I am being a ska hater, that I love funny music videos, but like when it's ska and overtly goofy, I'm like, this is why people hated ska to begin with. You know, like ska was this beautiful thing in the 80s, and then Real Big Fish came along and ruined it for everyone. And actually, I'm not dissing Real Big Fish. Like I saw Real Big Fish live for the first time like 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and honestly, I enjoyed it. I thought it was whimsical and enjoyable. But that being said, there are a million third wave ska bands that are goofy and annoying and are terrible, and that's why ska earned such a bad name. And it literally took it decades to crawl back from the dumpster of music criticism. You know, in fact, we had Aaron Carnes on the podcast like 3 or 4 weeks ago where we talked about that exact issue. And now, you know, Catbite, amazing. I mean, Catbite is an amazing band, but I would say they're third wave ska. I would say they're neo two-tone. You know, Catbite is amazing. People dig Jer, people dig Kill Lincoln, people dig Bite Me Bambi. All those bands I think have some merit. I think Catbite is amazing. And it's like, finally, ska is legit again. Finally, we're doing it tastefully. You know, like, if you look at the parallel, like, if you're in a NYC hardcore band and you get up there and you're like, this song is about being stabbed in the back and it's for my brothers, you know, and here comes the breakdown. Let's open this pit, you know, chugga, chugga, chugga. I mean, it's humorous that it's so cliche, you know. It took ska, the parallel here is, it took ska to crawl back from the band dork with too much energy and not enough true talent, ruining it for everyone. It took ska a long time to crawl back from that. I feel as though now that the ska world is comfortable again, those deadly maws might be creeping up from the bottom of the ocean to destroy the critical and even fandom appraisal of such a genre.
That was really well put. I mean, I can't really, that encapsulates pretty much how I felt about it. Although I do think you can talk shit about Real Big Fish, because I saw them back in the day, and you know, they had that whole like anti-moshing stance. Wasn't that them?
Oh, I don't know.
They, like, hated moshing or something. They like decided they like moshing was like the worst thing that could happen at a show. And I actually saw that guy hit an audience member with his guitar because he was like bent out of shape that his like mic stand was getting. I don't know. I sang in bands. I had mic stands like hit me in the face. It's not comfortable. Like, move your mic back. It's not. It's like not that big a deal. So yeah, I think we can talk shit about them. And then I don't know. Did you have a different take on this video and song, or are you where John and I are?
Like I will give the song this. It's really, really catchy. I have listened to it twice. And it, like, it's going through my head right now, and I listened to something to try to get it out of my head, and it did not work. So that's the sign of they have some things. They're doing something right. You know, like it's the one thing I thought was really interesting with it is like it's so upbeat and the music sounds so positive, and then the lyrics are kind of like dark, like they get heavy, you know. So I thought that was an interesting like thing, you know, like they're bright and fun, and then it's like, oh, okay, you know, they're making points kind of. So that's an interesting way to do a band.
What raises the question is, Hallie and I went through the original Third Wave Ska Wars, and we emerged battle-weary veterans, which removed it from the straddle. And the question is M the more accurate viewpoint, because she is not jaded from and doesn't have the PTSD that we have from Third Wave
Ska? That's what I was just about to say, John, that we just have, like, post-traumatic stress over, like, yes, absolutely.
We'll leave it at that. It looks like they're having fun. They're not hurting anybody, so I will give them that. Listen, here's a band that is trying to hurt somebody in a good way. Dollhouse. They're about to release their debut EP. They previously released a cassette on Toxic State Records. If you don't know Toxic State Records, Toxic State Records put out stuff by Blue Anxiety. They put out stuff by that band Nightmare. Not Nightmare. The name after the Discharge song. They're really cool. Fairy Tale. They also put out some Hank Woods and the Hammerhead stuff. And Lotion. They put out Lotion, which I love. So Toxic State Records is very much the cool NYC hardcore and kind of edgier max rock and roll style punk label. Dollhouse is the newest crop of those kinds of bands. They put out just a teaser. The EP is going to have four tracks. The Shadow Baby, This Is Heaven, Die So Pretty, and It's the First Day of Spring. And I definitely dig these titles. I will say that, and I'm not going to make this too big of a discussion, but, you know, like, we'll post about Susie True, or we'll post about Catbite, and people will be like, you know, I thought this was punk news, or, you know, Catbite, you mean more like Catfoot, yeah, where's the punk, you know, and then we play, like, stuff that is straight up punk. I mean, like, we're talking uber punks, you know, and it's peeps, you know, it's nothing, you know what I mean? And so, what they don't want punk, they want, you know, four dudes in flannels, you know, trying to reaffirm their previous life choices for them, you know, instead of shocking music like Dollhouse, you know. Anyways, I dig Dollhouse. Hallie Bullock, Dollhouse. Did you love it? Did you like it? Did you hate it?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. This teaser got me super excited. It also made me feel a little clueless, because I guess, like, this band is comprised of, right, tell me if I'm wrong, John, because it was kind of a little bit hard to find information, but it seemed like this band is comprised of members of some of those other bands you mentioned, like Hank Wood, Lotion. I lived in New York, and I like hardcore, and I don't know this entire scene. It made me feel so lame, but I'm glad to be hip to it now. I thought this was awesome.
Well, you are correct. One of the annoying things, particularly, I mean, honestly, info is everywhere now. So one of the things that, like, the cooler punk labels are doing these days is they're not putting out any info. They don't tell you who's in the band. They don't tell you they're putting out a record. They don't even tell you where the show – I mean, like in Philadelphia – like Philadelphia has – not now, but before COVID, there were so many house shows, you know, like Ask a Punk. And I know the punks, and I was having trouble finding some shows. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They didn't even make flyers for them. You know what I mean? Like, super underground. So, but to be fair – people try to keep me out, I think, of the punk scene to a degree, and I can't necessarily blame them. You know what I mean? So anyways, like the cool thing now is to like not tell anybody anything. And so like if you're super cool, then you know about it. So it's almost like making things underground on purpose, you know, as opposed to being underground by its very nature. You know, mm-hmm. Now that everything's so that there's merits to that, and there's negatives to that. The merit is I'll just be frankly, it does make you seem cooler when all the cool people in the scene, quote cool, you know, and sometimes cool people are cool, honestly, like know about something, you know, and you're like, oh, what was it like at Cousin Dan's in Philadelphia? It was like Lotion was one. I mean, people know about Lotion now, but like when Lotion was first come out, people were like, oh, Lotion is coming to Cousin Dan's. I'm like, Lotion, what's Lotion? And everyone's like, oh, you don't know, John, you don't know what Lotion is? I'm like, no, I don't know. So like, oh, well, don't bother coming. And I went, and it was like rad, you know. So it does make you seem cooler. The drawback is, and I've seen this arc happen many, many times, is bands almost self-sabotage themselves. Is they're underground and they're cool and there's a buzz, and they kind of either don't want to or don't know how to get out from that super limited appeal. And the next release they put out, like they kind of put out without much effort, and the buzz kind of dies away. And there's lots of bands that I can name that happen to. You know, a lot of bands on this label. And so it's a dual-edged sword, I guess. That's just my perspective. But the uber punks might totally say, John, you're just not cool and you don't know what they're up to, you know. I'm self-conscious, then.
You don't need to be.
And what do you think of Dollhouse?
I thought they were really good. I'm looking forward to it. The trailer with, like, the doll in the subway car, that was really creepy. And then their Bandcamp page has, like, the doll with, like, its eyes blocked out and stuff. And it's like, wow, like, that's still really creepy, but it's like it's a good level, you know?
Good level of creepiness.
Yeah. Bear,
let's play a track. Who's got a tune to play?
I do.
Hit it.
All right. So, this song is called Myopia, and it's by Initiate. And Initiate, they are from California. They are a hardcore punk band. And this is Myopia is off their most recent EP called Lavender. And that was released in 2020. And they might be releasing new stuff this year. So, yeah. And this is Myopia by Initiate.
And that was initiated during the track Myopia. I got to say, a little while ago, M. Moore played a song called Big Shouty. Was that the band or the song?
That was the song, yeah. The band's Problem Patterns.
Yeah, that band's rad, man. Everyone needs to go check out that band, Problem Patterns. That band is rad. On a related note, M. Moore, the only lotion item that I don't have is the 2018 demo/remix cassette. Will I ever get that, do you think?
I think so.
All right.
Because now it's out in the universe.
Fair enough. Listen, let's talk about Paul Rosler. Speaking of the guy that's out in the universe, this guy is far out in the universe. Paul Rosler, if you don't know Paul Rosler is the man. He was in the Screamers. He was one of the main Screamers. He played keys on the First Ed Kennedy's album. He was in Twisted Roots, the amazing, I guess, just after First Wave of L.A. punk band. And he was also in a ton of other bands. He's the brother of Keir Rosler of Black Flag, and Keir was also in Twisted Roots. If you don't have the Twisted Roots CD or their first single, or their second album, which is called, it's got Paul Rosler on a piano. Go check that out. Actually, if you don't have the Screamers, like demos album, it's amazing. Anyways, Paul released a compilation album called 12 Steppers and Dead Junkies, and it is composed of stuff that he recorded circa 1993 to 1995. It's technically not finished, and he said, well, I always wanted to finish it, I never got to, so this is either not going to come out, or it's going to come out like this, and it needs to come out, and so he put it out. I dug this. I actually thought this was surprisingly good. I thought the music was very dense. I think maybe if it wasn't so dense, it might have been a little bit easier to listen to. But like Paul Rosler has always mixed first wave punk with like psychedelic stuff and just kind of art rock and like Roxy music kind of stuff. And I thought this was actually surprisingly good and weird. I think there's a lot to it. I mean, it's like 18 tracks, and we're clocking it probably close to, I don't know, 50 or 60 minutes. So it's a lot of music. I wonder if he had maybe perhaps was a little bit more selective, even though I guess by its nature, just like a track dump. I think this just goes to show how clever and weird Paul Rosler is, but I also think underscores the reason perhaps Paul Rosler never, quote, quite broke through like the Dead Kennedys or like Black Flag, or even like Gaze to X, is because he has so many ideas in every song and he's a little too weird that there's just a little bit too much going on for him to catch through by the he's just not super catchy all the time, whereas Black Flag is. And I think that's why he's still somewhat of a cult figure. Hallie Bullitt, what do you think?
I liked the song. I did. It surprised me actually how much I liked it. Although I like melodic rock with like heavy piano, like I like other stuff like that. I mean, it's not punk to me. To my ear, it doesn't sound punk at all. But I did really enjoy it, and I want to just echo what you said, because I feel like actually didn't you send me some Screamers?
Yeah, I did.
I feel like you sent me Vertigo. Like you sent me some of their old stuff, and that stuff is just like, if there's anyone that just hasn't been on their radar, just like go look up that old stuff. It's so good. It's so good. I thought this is basically like unreleased old material, right, John?
Right.
Yeah, for like unreleased old stuff, I thought this sounded really good. What did you think?
I thought this was great. There's so much going on in each song, and it's like, you know how you don't think that you need something, and you think you're, you know, everything's like a-okay and whatever, and then like something will happen, like you'll listen to something or you will watch something and it'll be like, oh my gosh, you know, like how has this not been here forever kind of thing. Like that's kind of how this was. And I wasn't expecting that to happen, but it did. And it was really, really good. So really enjoyed it. And I'm glad that it's finally seeing the light of day. And I really hope more like older stuff that he's worked on comes out, because I listened to it for days, you know, because I don't think you catch everything with the first listen. I think it's one of those like the more you listen to it, the more you're going to notice and the better it's going to get, you know.
Yeah.
Well, playing with the idea is the longer it goes on, the better it's going to get. NOFX has already started recording their next album, and this is literally 1 or 2 weeks after their last album came out. The last album was, of course, called Single Album. And there was not a ton of build up to that album, and I think it came out and like people kind of just forgot about it. I didn't really hear anybody talking about it. Like even the week after it came out, I feel like the album before that, First Ditch Effort, people talked about for months. This one, like a single album came out, and I think like people just totally forgot about it right away, you know. And so they're already working on their next album. And honestly, NoFX has been really prolific the past number of years, and more. NoFX prolificness, is that akin to the Melvins being prolific and just being workhorses and testing every depth of their art to see what reaction will occur? Or, like a certain famous punk rocker mentioned, would NoFX be a much better band if they put out one quarter of the music and only put out the very best stuff?
Well, like, that's the thing, because they have put out, like, some songs that are like, you know, why is this here? You know, like, I could do without these. But at the same time, like, they kind of add to the charm of the band, you know? Like, yes, they put out, like, great albums where you don't skip any songs, and then they put out albums where, like, maybe five songs are good. But, like, you know, you're still going to listen to the, like, the ones that aren't really up to par. I don't think that they'd be the same band if it was, like, all their best stuff. I think that, you know, just, we're going to put all these songs out there. We're going to, you know, do all these different things. And I really think that's what makes the band, like, the band, you know? I think that it adds, like, kind of a character, like a certain kind of charm to them in one way. Kind of adds to they don't take themselves like super seriously, you know, like they're still kind of having some fun with it in one way. But yeah, I was surprised to see that they were working on a new album in one way, because it's like they did just put one out, but the one that they put out, a lot of the songs had been released previously. So, you know, in that way, it does make sense that they're going back and recording and everything. And wasn't, like, single album supposed to be a double album? Like, didn't they have, like, right, a bunch of songs?
That angered people. I thought it was hilarious. Like with a double album, they said, we tried to make a double album, but we didn't have enough good songs, so we just made it a single album. And I thought that was truthful and funny, but all the punk news readers hated it. And I just thought it was funny and clever and honest. And I mean, my stance was, people always say they want honesty from the punk rockers, and NoFX is being honest, and everyone hates them for it, you know?
It makes no sense. I really think they should call this album Single Album 2. Yeah.
I don't care. No, I'm so sorry. You know how I always feel. I listen, if people want to make music and put it out, like, be my guest. It's just, you know, they released that, like, the new Millennium Linoleum. What was that? What was the, like,
Linoleum?
Linoleum. I just, if that seemed like they were trying to make that, like, oh, look, we can still, like, come correct. Like, look at this amazing song. And I just didn't care about that. So then all this other stuff, I've just stopped paying attention. If there's anything really good that I should pay attention to, you guys have to just, like, flag it for me and let me know.
Fair enough. NoFX taking some various hits on the, and here's another thing that's kind of divisive. MDC and Noogie had released a split EP. MDC has been relatively prolific the past, well, Trump presidency, I'll say. The MDC and Noogie split EP is digital only right now, and it's called Bye Bye Donnie. And it has two tracks by MDC, two tracks by Noogie, and two tracks by Millions of Dead Electric Officials, which essentially is MDC. It's out on streaming services, and the commenters hated this. And honestly, though, well, a couple commenters hated this. I will say, I definitely dwell way too much on the commenters. Like, we really shouldn't pay any attention to them whatsoever. But it's hard not to. But we really shouldn't give them any attention at all. I feel like there's some post alt right dudes, like, popping up a lot in the comment section. Em, have you felt that way, or am I just going psycho?
There was a, when I first started doing like news, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to read all the comments. This is going to be great. Cause like, that's what I was doing before. Like I started writing for punk news as I go on and I'd read the comments. Cause like, you never knew what you're going to see kind of thing. But yeah, it's like, they kind of seek out certain things and then like attack them or say things for like no reason, you know, that makes no sense. Like, I remember I posted something, like, a while ago, and the comment was, these people look like they should be in a cupcake baking competition. I was like, that didn't need to be said, but okay. You know?
Did you just kind of scratch your head and go, like, well, you had extra time on your hands, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Punk news commenters are, Yeah.
Should I tell the story about the time I made one of them cry, or will I sound too mean?
Was it justified?
Oh, it was justified. All right, listen. So I've met punk news commenters in person, goofy ones, three times. All three times, the person I met was exactly the kind of person you thought they would be. And there was this one dude that was like just dogging me, and he was like, well, all right. I don't know if I want to say this. Basically, this dude was saying that I murdered his wife all over the internet, right? And he wasn't married, and I've never murdered anybody, obviously, you know. And so
I love that you felt you needed to say that.
And so like honestly, like I'm like this might actually start following me because this dude was like dedicated to it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I'm up in Asbury Park at a World Inferno show, and actually KB the doorman. I think it was. Yeah, it was KB the doorman, like, who does all the doors at all the punk shows. Who's the man? He's like, oh, John, my friend's here. You got to meet him, you know. And I'm like, all right, that's cool, whatever, you know. And it's the troll. And I know. I mean, I know him by his name. I don't know him by his person, right? And he's a neckbeard. He's got bad hygiene, you know. He's not taking care of himself. And people can go through their own things, you know. Sometimes you're not doing so well. Doesn't give you the right to, you know, say illegal things about other people. You know what I mean? And the dude's like kind of like wasted. And I'm like, bro. I'm like, I didn't say bro. I don't know why. I gotta stop saying bro. I was saying it ironically, and now I'm saying it genuinely. I gotta stop saying that. Anyways, so I see him. I'm like, dude. That's what I would have said, dude, not bro. That's what I would have said. I was like, dude. Like you cannot like me, you can criticize me, but you can't say stuff like that. And he goes, I'm an asshole. You know, like, I'm like, I don't care if you're an asshole or not. It, like, doesn't give you, and like, he's starting to like, get upset. I'm like, you need to like, not like say those things about me because that's not cool, you know? And then like his skinny little friend comes up. He's like, you want to fight? You want to fight? Let's go out. And this is like 120 pounds. I'm like, no, I don't want to fight. I kind of just turn my head back to the dude, and honestly, like, I thought it was, I'm like, when the dude's getting in my face, I'm like, is this the guy from Andrew Jackson Jihad? But it wasn't. But it, I thought it looked kind of like him, but I'm like, I don't think that's him. You know, like, so. And so I'm like, dude, like you can't be saying these things about me. That is so not cool, you know. And like, he could defend himself, and he starts like crying, and he's like, I'm sorry, like literally crying in front of me. And I'm like, all right, I'm like, just don't do it anymore. You know what I mean? And then I like, and meanwhile, poor KB the doorman was like shocked because he thought like we were gonna get along great, you know. And so then. By the end of the World Inferno show, like people dance, like well, like waltz and stuff at the World Inferno show, and like at the show, like I see he's by himself and he's totally wasted, and he's like Jack Terrycloth tells some joke that's like kind of funny, and he's like ha, he's like slapping his like thigh, like it wasn't that funny, and like you could see, and I didn't have sympathy for the guy, but like. I don't know how to, like, I didn't want to destroy him, you know, even though he had done shitty stuff, you know, said I killed his wife on multiple websites, you know, like, I didn't want to destroy him just because, like, it's this dude, he's not in a good space or whatever, he's got terrible hygiene, he's drunk by himself at a World Inferno show, you know, it's like, that's who we're dealing with. You know, and so when we see these things in the comments section, remember, you're not dealing, it's not Jello Biafra telling you off, it's not Keith Morris telling you off, it's not Elon Musk telling you off, you know, it's not some wildly successful dude, it's either a basement dweller or it's some dude that's sort of like an edgelord that, you know, maybe he's a graphic designer and you know, but he's an angry guy. Like, anybody that wastes time doing that is an angry guy. And it's always guys. It's always guys. And I'm not trying to be Mr. PC or whatever, but it's always guys. Always. 100%. I haven't met a woman troll yet. Yet. You know, I haven't even seen one yet. You know. And I don't know the reason for that. I guess dude's got misplaced energy. I don't know. So why did I get off on this tangent? Don't worry about the trolls. That's what I'm saying. And I got to learn it myself. You know, you spend hours. Oh, everyone's going to love this Jell-O interview. Everyone's going to love this massive crass piece. And people are like, it's like, John's, you know, John wants to have sex with Jell-O. It's like, what? You know?
What? You're like, that was your takeaway?
Whatever. So don't. So anyways, the point being is, MDC, people were dogging on MDC. They're like, MDC, this is stupid. You know, forget about Trump. He's over. The question is Dave Dichter capping off his his 4-year smashing on Trump, which, to Dave Dichter's credit, he's been smashing on Trump for 4 years. Is this the cap off, or is this Dave Dichter just trying to squeeze one last drop of material out of his source before the source shrivels up?
Maybe he views it as like a song cycle, and like he feels that he needs to like complete, you know, like it has to have like a denouement, like it has to have the, you know, the it has to have the like ding dong, the witch is dead, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He's got to have like the like the celebratory sort of last like fuck you, I'm so glad you're gone. I don't know. What was your take on this?
Wasn't Born to Die and the Millions of Dead Elected Officials song, like, weren't they already released?
Yes, you are correct.
Okay, because I was listening to it, and it's like, I've heard these before. Like, they're good songs, you know, they're good songs, but it's just like, I thought they were going to be new. And then Bye Bye Donnie's the rework of the Ronald Reagan song.
Right, right.
And everything. I never heard the Noogie ones before, so that was kind of cool. But yeah, I think he's just capping it off, just a final, you know, a fuck you for the road, I guess.
Listen, in my book, listen, Dave Dichter, he gets a little bit of leeway. He's done a lot of cool stuff. And honestly, like, people should check out some of the later day MDC stuff. A lot of it is way better than you might think it is. I definitely get writing off a band after, like, maybe they, you know, they've got their incredible, well, Suicidal Tendencies. First album is awesome. Everything after that, it's like, what's the point? You know, it's like, Suicidal Tendencies put out their 19th album. Who cares? MDC can feel like it should be that way, but it's not actually. Like, MDC's got some really rad stuff, and they've got some really rad singles. So, I think this wasn't necessary, but not all music needs to be necessary. And Dave's not saying, like, Joey Keithley might be like, and we're, you know, putting out one more anti-Donald Trump song to really kick him in his ass. It's like, all right, Joey, like, you're really doing a lot here, you know. Dave's not making that big of a deal out of it, so I'll give Dave the pass. Dave made a lot of awesome music. I'm glad Dave's still making music, and I'll give it a mild thumbs up. That's what I'm saying. Well, listen, let's play a song and come back and wrap this bad boy on up.
Well, I think what we're going to play, because I found like a stack of my old 7-inches. And so I had them out on my, in my living room, and my husband pulled one of them out and he was like, no way, you have this. And it was like this random old 7-inch, this great New York garage punk band called Electrolux that used to play like back in the 90s. They put some stuff out on Melted Records, which was out of Astoria in Queens. But super obscure, but somehow my husband and I, who are like, you know, not the same age and not from the same place, we both love this 7-inch. So, I think if I can get, I think I can get a digital, like an MP3 of this song. 'Cause right now I only have it on vinyl, but I think I've got a hookup. So I think what I'm playing is, Electrolux doing Robitussin High, which is like a rare oldie but goodie New York 90s like garage scene tune. And then I don't know, if I can't find that, then I've been listening to a lot of the Makers lately. So if I can't find that, then what you'll be hearing is the Makers doing I Just Might Crack. Yeah.
And that was either Electrolux or the Makers. We'll find out when we
Garage, either way.
Well, already we're at the end of the show. I feel like this show sped by, honestly.
I love talking to you guys.
Well, listen, you can always reach the podcast at punknews.org. And more, any closing words for this week to the Punk News Podcast listeners?
Wash your hands, wear a mask, stay safe, listen to Culture Shock.
How do you do it? Agree or disagree?
No, I don't. Yeah, sure, agree. I want to end the way I began, which is to remind people to listen to this, to check out these St. Vitus interviews, Age of Quarantine. It's like cool stuff.
And we will see you next week.